Howdy, moviegoers, and welcome to another edition of Review Fix at the Cinema. This is Patrick Hickey Jr., editor-in-chief of ReviewFix.com, joined by
Cynthia Spataro, senior movies editor. Happy holidays, everybody.
This edition, we're going to be talking about The Lovely Bones, Peter Jackson's new flick. Cynthia, what did you think?
I thought it was excellent. Not for everybody, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely not a movie to see during the holiday season.
Well, it comes out in January, wide release, so everybody will have access to it then. I believe it'll be pretty wide release. So this is Peter Jackson's first movie since
King Kong.
Oh, King Kong, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while. It's based on a book, a novel by, I don't remember her name. I can't recall her name. But it's a best-selling novel. So it's a serious movie. Right away, you know, I mean, everybody knows from the trailers that it's about a little girl that gets murdered in a small town in Pennsylvania. And it doesn't hide, like, it's not a murder mystery. It doesn't hide that Stanley Tucci's the murderer.
Who you want to beat the living crap out of throughout the entire movie.
All right, Stanley Tucci in this movie, he's got the blue contacts. Did you notice
that?
Yeah. Now, the little girl is Saoirse Ronan from Atonement, and she, who was, like, nominated for an Oscar.
She was great in this movie.
She was phenomenal.
Yeah, she was so adorable, and you felt, like, so bad for her, you know? And they had this cute little, like, quaint, all-American family thing going on. Good family, she was a good girl, and then this happens, and, like, Stanley Tucci looks like a combination of, like, a skinny John Goodman and, like, Jessica Alba from, like, Fantastic Four with those really crappy blue contacts. He just looks like a complete perv.
But his eyes, like, the blue contacts in his eyes make them look, like, clouded and just creepy.
Yeah, he looks totally,
and
like,
she has, like, the
I wanna
clearest
kick his ass.
She has, like, the clearest blue, like, innocent eyes.
Yeah, she...
Like, so there's that big, like, contrast.
Big, big, innocent blue eyes compared to, you know, this,
But from the trailer, I thought that Tucci was gonna be, like, a deep voice, like, very sinister, very, like, menacing, but
it wasn't like that at all.
Instead, he's very, like...
Like, oh, you wanna get with me? Come downstairs?
He's just like that creepy, but...
Very, like, desperate, creepy, lonely poison.
Yeah.
You know? Not nearly like... He's smart. He's a sneaky son of a gun, but, like, he just screams pervert. I don't know.
But he doesn't look, like, menacing. He just looks creepy.
He doesn't.
And he has, like, a higher voice than I thought. He kind of has, like, this...
Yeah.
Weird accent that he's got going on.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Well, he moved around a lot. Remember, they show, like, later in the movie where he had been and where he had killed people. But, yeah, man.
Alright, so...
That's the kind of guy, like, if he would come to your house now, he would have to say, according to Megan's Law, you know...
He's on the... What the hell is that website where he, like, there's all the dots for all the pedophiles and, like, sex offenders? There's, like, the dot.
I don't want to know.
Like, Stanley Tucci's house.
I've never been to that site before.
You never heard of this site?
No.
It's like you can actually see all the sex offenders that live in your neighborhood. It's pretty scary. Yeah.
I hope Stanley Tucci's not on that list. But, I mean, speaking of Stanley Tucci, it's like, how does he go from playing, like, his normal, like, kind of, like, cool, like, confidant kind of thing? Like, in Devil Wears Prada, he was that, like, cool kind of guy. And, like, he plays that cool guy a lot. Like, the cool guy, like, on the sideline.
He's gay in
Prada. In a lot of movies, you know? But,
because he's very, like, but he's, yeah, he's got, like, an air about him. Like, dignified air.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes from that to...
Yeah, but he played this role pretty well.
He was, like, great, yeah.
He was believable as, a psycho killer. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have that crazed look. He has, like, that creepy pedophile look to his face. Like, you know? I think he did a really good job casting-wise with this movie.
Yeah.
So then you have... Mark Wahlberg as the father.
Who you can't stand, and he was actually pretty good in this movie.
He was actually, I have to give props to Marky Mark. You've heard it here. He actually redeemed himself from the last shitty movie I saw him in, which was, I don't know what.
I have a lot of respect for Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, the M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, I
didn't see
that piece of crap.
Oh my god, it's
what
terrible.
When I think of Mark Wahlberg, I remember Invincible, Shooter,
The Departed,
Rockstar, The Departed, stuff like that. Rockstar was a fun movie. It was silly, but it was fun.
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, he was great in Boogie Nights.
Dirk Diggler. I'm Dirk Diggler.
I remember I wasn't allowed to watch that movie when I was a little kid.
Did it come out that long ago?
Yeah, like 15 years ago. Yeah, I was a baby.
Well,
like 11.
He is definitely good in this. I mean,
yeah, he plays the.
He's better than she is.
Father.
So Rachel Weisz is the mother.
Yeah, who kind of like gives up halfway through the movie, and has to like kind of find her bearings before she comes back.
In the book, she leaves. You know, she. You know, when she's trying to sort out her daughter's like murder and her life, and it's kind of like it's really, it's a shocking point in the book. And I wasn't sure, like, what he was going to do with that, if, mm-hmm. if he was really going to go out, all out with mm-hmm. it. There's a lot of differences. If you're a fan of the book and you watch this, I mean, but I think he did a very good job translating, like, the important parts, like, the highlights of the story, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that's something that Jackson is known for. I don't know too many Lord of the, like, hardcore Lord of the Rings fans that were incredibly, pissed off at his interpretation. It was pretty spot on, aside from kind of Miss Tom Bombadil a little bit, but he wasn't a
yeah,
much needed character. Yeah. What he's able
him.
To fit in and what he leaves out is always not that important. So yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
So it's set in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
which if in The Box, the movie I saw recently with Cameron Diaz mm-hmm. and James Marsden, it's set in the 70s, but it's Richard Kelly directs that, and whenever he does, like, period pieces, it's very deliberate. It's mm-hmm. like, hi, we're in the 70s, here's a bit
I
of a...
Like noise, you got a notion.
Yeah, it's like, like a big blinking light saying
don't
this movie's
the boat,
in the
don't
70s.
Don't rock the boat, baby. All right, I'm being a... Don't tip the boat over.
Right. Is that the defining 70s song?
It's up there. That or, like, Donna Summer or something like that.
But he doesn't, like, I felt like, you know, that movie, The Box, he, you know, it's like, here's a clip of a TV show, and, the, you know, the
I know my...
The clothes are more like costumes than they are like, real 70s clothes.
Yeah, this
so
had definitely, like,
a more organic feeling to the era.
That's the perfect word, absolutely. Cause
it wasn't
like,
forced. Like, it wasn't, here, put this token, you know, thing in it, so everyone will know.
And let's put Soul Train on in the background and stuff like that. I think
there was one clip of, like, a TV show.
Of the Partridge Family.
It was very subtle, though. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, they were sitting in the living room.
Yeah.
It was organic feeling. It wasn't, like, mm-hmm. cut to this for no reason other than to show that it's in the 70s. You know?
I think, too, like, the important thing is, I think that Jackson is trying to say, and even the author of the book, is that, like, yeah, the time really isn't so much the biggest thing here. It's the story of this girl and, like, what she had to go through and what the people around her had to go through, you know?
I think it was a nice touch, though, with... I mean, the book takes place in the 70s, so it follows suit with that, but I think just showing the differences between how parents, you know, dealt with children then and how, like, a missing child is dealt with now, there's, like, a huge difference, you know, in the way society reacts to that mm-hmm. now. Like, she even says in the film, the narrator, it's narrated by the young girl who gets murdered,
mm-hmm.
and she says, you know, it's not like today where kids are on milk cartons. So,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, for that reason, I think it's important, but the overall look of the film, I thought, was, like, believable, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, It just felt, it felt very, human. You mm-hmm. said organic. It never felt like they were trying to, like, push anything on us. It's, like, completely opposite from the movie that we saw during the last edition of this podcast, where you had no idea, like, what to feel about the characters or what to make of the story. You know what to make of the story. The characters' roles are all clearly defined, and you get to know the characters well enough in a much, much shorter film. You get to know more about them and get some kind of emotional response when they're on the screen, which I think is a tribute to Jackson's filmmaking ability over James Cameron, who was probably smoking pot and eating Pringles while making Avatar. So.
And selling toys to Happy Meal.
Yeah, that light
You're
up.
You're too busy.
That light up. They light up the toys.
They are worthwhile, though. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, go to McDonald's. Get the Avatar toys. They're awesome. Better than the movie. All right, so.
And they are. Yeah. They probably make more money, too.
Let's see. What else did I want to say about this movie? I think the trailer, because I saw the trailer, like, a month and a half ago. I don't think the trailer did a good enough job of, like, selling the movie. It kind of, like, placed more emphasis on, like, the aspect of, like, heaven and an afterlife. It reminded me of, like, Across the Universe. Seriously.
Really? That's
it was, like,
very bad, like, impression.
Total, like, all this color and, like, psychedelic kind of stuff. And I'm like, what is this movie about? Like, I don't want to see this movie. And then when you actually watch the movie, it's more like a very compelling narrative drama with some kind of, like, spirituality mixed
told
in.
From the point of view of someone who's,
yeah,
you know, deceased. So she goes through, you know, the afterlife, and you get to see Jackson's interpretation of the afterlife from the book, from the details that the book gives,
mm-hmm,
that he makes this whole world. You don't see her, like, standing in the room watching her family.
Yeah.
You see her in the afterlife, and she gets, like, bits of information of what's going on in the world. And her contact with, like, her family is very touching, you know?
Yeah.
It's the scene, there are a couple of scenes, like, with Mark Wahlberg, when she reaches out to him, you know, like, and he feels her presence.
Yeah.
It's very moving, like.
Yeah, there were a couple of times during the movie where I was pretending that I was cold, but I was I was actually pretty moved. I'm kind of like, whoa, like, I was actually trying to, like, push back some crocodile tears there.
I think that's what this movie is basically about, and I think that's what I got out of the book as well, that it's more about a study of, you know, how parents deal with the loss of a child,
mm-hmm,
how you deal with the loss of a family member,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, like, the moment where Rachel Weisz is in the detective's office, and she sees a little girl, and she, like, double-takes
the
little
girl.
That
looks like, yeah.
That says it all. Like, that says it all. If you've ever lost anyone, you know, and you've had that moment where you're just, like, you know, you forget that they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it's a powerful, like, little glimpse at that.
Yeah. This movie reminded me so much of this is, like, a really bad reference, but there was a made-for-TV movie, like, in the 80s called Without a Trace that, like, Judd Nelson was in, and it was about a kid. It was about a kid getting kidnapped, and the mom is, like, looking for him for, like, 2 years. And, like, at the end, she eventually finds him, but she goes through the same thing. Like, she sees a kid, and she thinks it's him, and she's trying to move on with her life, and her husband break up, and all this stuff is going on. And it's just, like, very, very compelling, and, like, at the end, you're crying and things like that. But this was, like, it's a movie that totally get you. You're connected emotionally. You're vested emotionally in,
yeah,
the movie. And I think as far as the Lovely Bones goes, the main character, she's adorable. She is like a picture of like purity.
Yeah.
You just look at her and she's so beautiful. She's this beautiful little girl, and like she has like such a like a pure heart and a presence and this ambiance around her, this aura, and like you don't want anything bad to happen to her. And when you see all that stuff happen, like, seriously, I wanted to kick his ass. I'm like, get away from her, you know? Like, she does a great job in this movie.
Yeah.
You know?
She really, she, you know, if there was another actress cast and she didn't pull that out of the, like, if she didn't pull that out of the role, I mean, it was believable that she was scared when this guy approached her.
Yeah.
It was believable when she's in the afterlife and, like,
mm-hmm,
missing her family, you know? Those,
yeah,
not every actress could pull that off.
What's her name again?
Age. Saoirse Ronan?
Mm-hmm. She has chops.
And
she's gonna be good.
Did you tell that no accent?
Yeah, no
she's
accent.
She's Irish, and she has, like, a perfect American
accent.
Yeah,
perfect American accent.
It's crazy.
I don't know, I expect, like, big things from her. I don't know, maybe it's too early to tell, but, like, she has chops. She's,
yeah,
good.
She outshined Rachel Weisz, for sure.
Yeah. I thought her sister was pretty good,
she
too.
She was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were all good, but, and off, we didn't even talk about Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon is the
comic
grandmother. Yeah, but you really need it. I know there was, like, a silly montage in the middle of the movie. Like, she,
yeah,
comes in to, like, try and help the family, you know, cope with things.
And, like, just is ruining the house, drinking excessively.
She's a chain smoker.
Setting fires.
You know, she's like the opposite of what Rachel Weisz's character wants to be as a mother.
The pillar of stability.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Susan Sarandon is...
Rachel Weisz is the
controlled chaos, yeah. But a rock at the same time, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, in the end, Mark Wahlberg is the one that really, you know... That scene where he loses it, like, the scene where he... You know, all the while he's trying to figure out who in the neighborhood this could possibly be... And he goes off, you know, he loses it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes off trying to find out who it is. And there's a scene where he's, you know, obsessed, looking through files, talking to the detective. And you see in his eyes, he's, like, totally drained.
Yeah.
He looks like a desperate man. And he pulls it off so well. Like I believe that he was a father that lost his child.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
and that's a hard thing to pull off.
Yeah, and he did a really good job in this movie. And the part when he's with Tucci, and he's looking at, like, the trap that he was making, and it's all, like, starting to come together.
Yeah, that moment of realization that this is the guy.
Oh, man, it's just like...
So you don't get that in the book. You don't get the moment of they never really find out, and then they get the book with the sketches, and they kind of, you know, piece it together, but... You know, he never comes to justice with the... We're totally spoiling this whole movie.
That's okay. That's all right.
But,
I mean, the thing is, we said earlier in the podcast that you know in the beginning what happened. You know that she's dead.
Right.
You know who did it. So, I mean...
It's more of a study of how she copes with her own death and then how she walks her family through it.
Yeah.
And I've heard criticisms of this film where they talk about how Jackson was more obsessed with effects than he is with the story. And I thought he struck a balance. I thought there could have been more development, but I thought he struck a nice balance. I don't think he was overly crazy with the effects. I don't know.
It goes into, like, what I was saying from the trailer. You would think that it was totally all about special effects, and it's not.
I don't think it is, and I think it's beautifully
more about the
done.
Emotion.
The effects aren't like, hi, I'm doing an effect, and I'm going to be, you know, in your face. It's more of like a...
It was all beautiful stuff.
Beautiful, yeah.
Scenery, and this and that. And, like, you notice there's a part where they have that, like, big bowl.
Yeah.
And that ends up being, like, the bowl that one of the children played with that died. Like, and there's a cowboy hat that, like, flies through the air, and that's one of the hats that one of the other victims wears.
Yeah, it's very symbolic. There's nothing left.
Nothing is wasted. The penguin they have in there.
Yeah.
Like, everything.
It's very detailed, and that's Jackson, too, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, the scenes where it's shot on Earth, you know, when she's alive, that was shot in Pennsylvania, but when she, dies. All the afterlife stuff he shot in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, like, some of it...
New Zealand now.
Yeah. Some of it resembles the Lord of the Rings landscape.
Mm-hmm.
If you take note, like, the forest scene looks just like the forest scene in the first Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
I think, at least.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
But, I mean, it looks beautiful. You can't expect anything less than that. Even if you didn't like King Kong, same thing. Like...
Yeah.
The attention to detail of that time period is just...
Oh, absolutely.
Flawless.
And you're totally engulfed in 1920s, 30s Americana. Like, I reviewed that movie, like, when it came out, like, 5 years ago. Like, that's when it's like when I first started really, like, reviewing movies. And I said, like, King Kong felt like kind of like a Norman Rockwell painting, like, come to life, you know? It was just, like...
Yeah, it was
total,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And he does the same thing here, but I think the biggest thing that makes this movie so well, that makes, not this movie so well, that makes it so good, is that this movie isn't as drawn out and as stretched as far as, like, what he usually does. Because, like, King Kong, great movie, but didn't have to be nearly 3 hours.
And if he touched on a lot of the stuff that was in the book, it could have been, because there's a whole relationship between... Mm-hmm. Len Fennerman is the detective who's working on the case, the murder case, and that's played by Michael Imperioli.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole relationship that takes place between him and the mother.
Yeah, and you kind of get
a little bit of a vibe, but, like,
she's coming to talk to him.
It doesn't show any of that. Like, you know, it doesn't show what she goes into in the book, so...
So what happens in the book?
They have an affair.
Oh, really?
They have a full-blown affair right before she decides to leave.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the reasons why she leaves. And then, actually, she comes back when Marky Mark's character has a heart attack.
Oh, okay.
After the whole beating and everything. He ends up in the hospital, like, 2 times.
Yeah.
And she comes back after that.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, when the daughter's getting married, like, you know?
Yeah.
So, Marky Mark. and Funky Punch. He'll always be Marky Mark. Like.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, like, again, like I said, he didn't get as deep as he usually does. But in this sense, it ended up being more about, like, how you feel while you watch the movie and not so much about, like, the depth, you know?
Well, you don't want to get so... I mean, you could have gone into a lot more, but, you know, it's such a sad topic.
Yeah.
You don't want it drilled into your head.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think he got that, you know? Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was able to, like, kind of restrain himself, because, you know, he wanted to make a 3-hour movie. He's Peter Jackson. He wants to make, like, really long, epic, you know, pictures, and, like, for him to kind of take a step back from his formula and to, like, make this kind of shows to me that he's grown a little bit as a director.
Yeah, you can see it. I mean, and especially, you know, the subject matter, you know, it's not fantasy. I mean, the whole afterlife aspect, but, you know, it's not a fantasy topic that he usually, you know, takes on, so that definitely shows that he has more range, you know. But, I think he did an overall good job. I think there are a few minor things.
Such as?
Such as the way it cuts back and forth from the afterlife to the present, you know, to the family.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been a little more seamless, I think.
Okay. Can you give us an example of when, you know...
I don't know, you didn't get that at all?
No, not really. But, I mean, you read the book, too, so it's kind of
I was looking
more than I do as far as this goes, so...
Well, I was looking for the filler that the book gives you, you know? There's a lot of, like... more narration of what she does in heaven, and, or the in-between
heaven. Are there dogs in heaven?
Yeah, like the dog that the family has dies and comes and meets her there.
Oh, I was being an idiot.
No. Like, no, you see the dogs in the one scene, though, right?
Yeah. Old dogs go to heaven.
She really follows her family for about a good 15 years.
Wow.
Throughout the book, so... You get to see her sister grow up, her little brother. We didn't even talk about the little brother.
Yeah, they don't really mention him in the movie either.
Oh, that touching scene when he comes into the bedroom and he's like, I feel her, you know, she comes to me, she talks to me. It's like, it just breaks your heart, you know?
Yeah.
It really, like, if you've ever lost someone, I think, you know, it's really... I don't know how people would feel if you've lost a child. I don't know how you would feel about this movie. If it would be too much or... You know, if you would be angry with it, I don't know. But I feel like it's a real thing. It happened.
No, absolutely.
You know, it really happened. Like she says in the movie, like, we didn't think it would happen to my family, but it did, you know.
I think of, regardless of, like, how much, if you're a guy, how much machismo or, like, bravado you think that you have, when you go see this movie, you will be affected in one way or another. Like I said, I was holding back tears on at least 2 or 3 different occasions. And it's just, it's gripping.
Yeah.
You know, and you totally, totally feel the plight of all these characters and the things that they have to go through. And you get angry, and you get happy, and you get upset, and you smile, and you laugh, and you know, and you almost cry, or you do cry. It's a roller coaster ride in a way. You know, this is like we talked about with Avatar, how that movie is kind of an experience because it's so pretty. But this is like an emotional experience. You know?
Yeah,
so.
This is, like, the things that happen in life and how people, you know, have to deal with them or not deal with them.
Yeah.
And I think most people could relate to that. And then you have the whole heaven thing, which I think is, you know, whenever filmmakers try to bring that to life, it's interesting to see the different ways that they do that with. Like, that film with Robin Williams, that, did you ever see the film with Robin Williams? He goes to the afterlife. His kids die, his wife dies, and he goes to the afterlife to try and,
No, I never saw it.
It's really, like, beautiful. It almost kind of looks Peter Jackson-esque, like, the effects, the visual effects and stuff. But, you know, it's interesting to see how one person's perception takes, you know, form like that.
What did you think of the way, like, all the victims came back in? I mean, I thought it was really interesting, because it kind of seemed like she had to confront, like, her own death in order to, like, gain access to, like, heaven, which I thought was, like, a different kind of touch. I mean, I didn't expect it. And it was really emotional, because during this entire thing, like, you already hate this guy. And then you see what else he did, and see who else he did it, and how he did it. And it's really emotional stuff. But you were saying before that, like, a lot of stuff wasn't in the book. Did they touch on that?
That's definitely touched on. But, I mean, it's talked about, like, that she she doesn't see that right away when she enters, you know, this afterlife. She doesn't get to see all the victims. She has to wait a while before she could deal with that. So it's like you're walking through her dealing with her death again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a while until she sees that, and then she's ready, but she's still not ready. So, you know, it's like a journey on both ends for... But you want to see in the end everyone's okay, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, is it a happy ending even though someone dies, you know?
Yeah.
As much as it could be,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you invest a lot in these characters as well. It's not like a regular movie where you're just like, oh yeah, so-and-so dies. Like, you're really rooting for these characters. Like, for something good to happen to them, you know? So I think Jackson does a great job of just showing how much integrity and how much emotion these characters have, which is kind of a rare thing in movies today.
Yeah, it is. And you want to see them be okay, you know. You want to see them get through it,
mm-hmm.
you know, on both ends. So I would have liked to see more Michael Imperioli's character.
I was going
to
say that too, because he's kind of
I enjoy him as an actor.
I think he's a good
actor.
If you don't like him, like on The Sopranos, then you're out of your mind. You know, and then he's been, you know, in Goodfellas, he was great. You know, was he Spider?
Spider.
Yeah, hey Spider. You know, you know, he's a very good actor. He's talented.
I think he fits the role as a detective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, in the book, like I said, there's more of his character.
Yeah.
You don't get to see that, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, he doesn't drill it into your head in this movie, so in a lot of ways, that could have backfired if you would have, like...
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe if that was going on, maybe there would be too much going on in
mm-hmm.
the movie. So, I mean, we could probably count how many speaking lines Imperioli has.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Probably like
part.
A dozen.
Yeah.
He's probably on camera for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? So, is there anything else that you want to say?
No, I mean, I think it's a good film. I think you have to be in the right frame of mind to see it. You know, if you're a fan of the book, I think you should definitely see it. I was dying to see it because of that. And I'm not disappointed. You know, I still enjoy the book. I still think the book's a good read, but the movie's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the movie's worthwhile. I think a lot of people are going to avoid it because it's a sad topic, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. You know, it's not a fun movie that you're going to, like, enjoy yourself at, but... But I think it's well done for what it is. And you should check it out.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a Jackson fan, too, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I didn't know really what to expect. And like I said, the trailer kind of put me in the wrong frame of mind. I read, like, a description, and I was expecting, like, a drama, like, kind of like a crime drama. But, what I got instead was so much better. It was just, like, a complete, like, narrative that was... It was very mushy. You know, like, you totally... You felt indebted to these characters, like you owed them something, like you owed them your attention.
Yeah.
You know, and it may not be the best movie to see during the holiday season, but it's definitely a movie that's worth seeing.
Well, the holiday season will be over.
When
it'll get depressed.
Yeah, when it... yeah. Yeah, definitely not a movie you want to see before you open up gifts, or like before you go eat like your Christmas turkey or something like that. And definitely not like on New Year's Eve. You know,
especially if you can't handle that type of
but
that was an interesting thing too, like you don't get that whole you know, it's a crime and they're trying to find the killer and you get the family who's in front of the TV cameras.
Yeah,
I think that's all a central part of the fact that it takes place in the 70s too.
Yeah,
because you don't get that whole modern, you know, the media, and it's a subdued thing. They're a family dealing with it on their own.
Mm-hmm. On their
there's
own
no
terms.
Media attention. There's no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you get to live with them through that, and it's hardcore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's see. But, yeah, I mean, overall...
Yeah, good movie. What would you give it?
Very solid movie. What, like on a scale from 1 to 10?
1 to 10.
Give it, like, a 7.75.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I was going to say... 7, 6.5, 7.
Really? I don't know. It's just not a lot of movies like touch me like that. As far as like the, again, it's not the greatest movie I've ever seen, but like for its genre and
mm-hmm.
the type of story that it's telling, because this story has been told countless other times, you know.
But I don't think you could have done better with the book. I mean,
and that too, it's based on source material. So I mean, that kind of puts it in a genre all its own. So like in a film that's based on source material of this kind of like. This story arc that's been done countless times. I mean,
yeah. You
could go, we could go home right now and watch a movie on Lifetime that's going to be talking about the same exact thing, you know, but this is like done, this is that type of movie done the right way, you know?
I think so. I think you can't really slam this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the most you could do is criticize maybe the visual effects or how the story is like, you know, narrated by her, but that's the whole uniqueness.
Yeah.
It's narrated by someone from the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
It's a child, you know, the way that it's done.
I think you just summed it up perfectly when you said, like, unique. I think that's the reason why I gave it, like, the score that I did. Because, yeah, it's absolutely unique. It doesn't feel like the other movies that tell similar stories.
And I would watch this again.
Yeah.
Even though it's sad,
mm-hmm.
I would watch it again for all those little symbolic details.
And there's a lot of... The scene when he's... when Mark Wahlberg is putting the shit together with his daughter, and he's like, he's being totally like quirky and like OCD with his daughter.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's how like fathers get with their kids. Like when they're showing, cause he's like showing his daughter like a huge part of himself, you know? So he's just being himself. He's not trying to be like this great father or whatever. He's just showing her what he loves, and he's trying to like share it with her, and that's like what life is all about. Like no one is a perfect father, no one is a perfect daughter. You are what you are, and that's what I think is the beauty of like what Jackson did here. He didn't try and make them a perfect family, he just tried to make them a good family, you know. And not a lot of families have a crazy drunken Susan Sarandon for a grandmother, but you know, but again,
yeah, she's not so off the wall. She's just unorthodox.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah. She's still a genuinely good person that like loves her family, you know. And there's nothing, honestly, I don't think there's anything cookie cutter about any of the characters, you know. Like again, the montage scene with Susan Sarandon was a little weird, but like as far as her character was pretty like one of a kind.
I think it was necessary to break up the seriousness of the situation.
No, she was essentially a plot device, but she was an effective one.
But in the book, you know, Susan Sarandon's character doesn't seek such a prominent... I mean, she's in the book a lot, but mm-hmm. not in that way, you know?
Yeah. I think she lends, like, an air to the movie as well.
Yeah.
You know? She kind of gives it, like another taste, like another feel... That kind of spices things up a little bit.
It's great,
you know?
When the little boy is painting her toenails.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many little scenes like that. And the conversation that they had back and forth, that's adorable. You know, like, oh, you're going to die soon. Why? Because you're old.
Because you're old. And she's like, I'm 35.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like, very genuine.
Yeah.
You know, not just like, oh, let's throw a funny line in here. But I think that's what the author, you know, her skill as an author, mm-hmm. wrote this family that you're saying is genuine, good, but not overly perfect. But it's the whole, you know, the whole idea of, like, the suburbs, bad shit happens in the suburbs.
Yeah.
It's not just mm-hmm. a city, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's a good family, but, you know, regardless, bad things happen to people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, overall, I give it a thumb up.
Yeah, definitely.
So, two thumbs up?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so for Patrick Hickey Jr., Editor-in-Chief, ReviewFix.com.
And Cynthia Spataro, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.